Take a deeper dive with Steve Barkley in one of his five books. Available in electronic and printed formats, add Steve's books to your district's resources or to your personal collection at barkleypd.com/books.
Hello and welcome to the Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud podcast. For the last 35 years, I've had the opportunity to learn with educators at all levels, both nationally and internationally. In each of the coming episodes, I'll explore my thoughts and my learning on a variety of topics connected to teaching, learning, and leading. Thanks for listening in. Everyone deserves a coach. When I wrote the book, Quality Teaching in a Culture of Coaching, I based it around two critical beliefs. The first one was that we should have models that caused everyone working in a building to receive feedback at least once a week. You can see in that step right away the push for peer coaching, because there's no way that building administrators or instructional coaches alone could make that happen. They need to create models where teachers are coaching teachers. And the second belief was that the more highly skilled and professional an individual became, the more coaching they should receive. In this podcast, I'd like to explore my thinking behind why that is the case. Because the reality is, in most schools, it's the reverse. A new teacher, someone struggling, is likely to receive much more coaching feedback. You see, I have this picture in my head that a new teacher who's working with a mentor would discover that there's more people observing and giving feedback in the mentor's classroom than there is in the beginning teacher's classroom. But actually today in most schools, it's clearly the reverse. The beginning teacher quickly notices that there's people in her classroom all the time, and rarely does she find someone in the classroom of that person that she's mentoring. So why is it that I believe the most highly skilled and professional should get the most coaching? Number one, they deserve it. Because of the commitment and the return that those people give to their students and to your school and to your district, part of the reward that should come to them is creating that continuous growth process. If the best teachers in your building are observed the most, it creates the opportunity for those people who are doing the observing to be learning while they are providing the coaching to those best people. You see, what we frequently do now is we take an outstanding teacher and we then take a struggling teacher and tell the teacher you're struggling, go watch the outstanding teacher. Can you hear just from the phrasing of that, that it doesn't set up the right learning potential? So now the struggling teacher goes to the outstanding teacher's classroom and kind of frustrated and early on sees a misspelled word in a handout and it decides in their mind right away, this isn't all that outstanding, or these kids aren't anything like mine. Now, see what happens when you switch that and you now have the outstanding teacher inviting the struggling teacher to provide her with coaching. So now the outstanding teacher goes to a struggling teacher and says, I'm working on increasing student dialogue during my math class. And I'm looking for as many people as possible who can stop in and in a 10-minute observation, record the kinds of conversations you hear going on between pairs of students. And now when that struggling teacher goes into that classroom with that specific task in mind, they are much more open-minded and begin to see things in that classroom that could bring about better instruction in their own classroom. And it may even lead them to openly ask that outstanding teacher how he or she causes that to happen in their classroom. Another reason for working with the most outstanding teachers is that we need a plan for continuous improvement that moves us from good to great. And if you look back at the writing that Jim Collins did in the book Good to Great, he makes this statement: good is the enemy of great. And those of you who are working as leaders and instructional coaches in high-performing schools, you're really tackling one of the most difficult tasks, and that is to convince good people who are doing a good job to stop some of the things they're doing in order to discover and perhaps innovate the kinds of learning opportunities that could lead to increased learning for students in your school. Question for you to ask yourself as a leader: are you modeling the continuous growth process for your staff? Are you showing the vulnerability that causes continuous growth? Do the teachers in your school know what skill set you are currently working to develop? And are you asking them to provide you with coaching feedback? Creating a culture in your schools where everyone is engaged in continuous growth and improvement is an important leadership focus. Thanks for listening, folks. I'd love to hear what you're pondering. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Barkley, or send me your questions and find my videos and blogs at barkleypd.com.